go. All right, we talked about, and we've talked about the show a bunch on this program, Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. Hard to believe it's been 20 years. The show has had 20 years of episodes, 10 episodes a year. I was in on it at the beginning. I probably watched it for the first 4 or 5 years. I think Larry David is, I would say he's the most brilliant comedic writer or actor of our time. He and Seinfeld. If you create Seinfeld and now this show of Curb that runs for 20 years, I don't know who tops that.
It's quite an accomplishment. Now, of course, those are not consecutive years. He hasn't had 20 seasons of Curb. I think they've had 10.
Okay, yeah, 10 of seasons it. Of 10, that's right. But that first aired in 2000.
Right. Yeah, he's brilliant because both of those, it's not just that he had two hugely successful shows. It's that they both captured a kind of comedy that people use as a reference. You know, hey, this sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
Right.
Or, boy, it was such a Curb moment.
Yeah.
You know, and anytime that the culture at large adopts something from a show as shorthand to describe a facet of human existence, that means that you are have done a brilliant, you've made a brilliant piece of art.
Yes. And I still think the show is funny. I'm not saying it's not funny anymore. I just don't watch it like I used to when it first started.
And I thought you bailed out of it when it first started because you said it was too tense.
It was tense. But I also thought that after a while they'd hit, and I know there's something new to explore every day in human behavior and interaction that you can have in scenarios. But I felt like they had maybe hit that about the time I stopped watching. I can't pinpoint exactly what that year was. By the way, they're still spraying the car, and it's 2 minutes and 57 seconds.
Yeah, but the fire's out.
Yeah, but they're still, they're not leaving, though.
They're just washing it now.
I don't think they're washing it. But back to Curb. Yeah, I felt like they were maybe struggling to come up with ideas, and the scenes that I saw, they didn't seem as natural as they used to. It's like, okay, there's no way it would escalate that fast, 5 or 10 seconds, and they're already screaming at each other and making a big deal about a banana peel being on the counter for too long.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what makes it funny, is that things get tense very quickly sometimes.
Well, Larry David is very funny. We've mentioned his fake Bernie Sanders on Saturday Night Live is really good. He is really funny as not only what he says, but just how he uses his arms. And, yeah, he's funny no matter what he does. And it's also funny that he is fascinated with sports. Have you been watching it this year, the most recent episodes?
I have. I think I'm maybe one or two behind.
Have you seen the episode where his friend Carl passes away, commits suicide?
No. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
No.
Well, he does, and they're talking, he and JB are talking about Carl's wife, who has a magical part of her body. Let's not get sidetracked on that, though.
What, how do they know that she has a magical thing?
I guess Carl had told him at some point.
Oh.
But this is from that episode, as it works in sports, because Larry thinks he knows why Carl ended it, and it was blamed on the New York Jets.
Hello.
Hey. Did you hear about Carl?
Carl? What?
He killed himself.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the f***?
I know, it's unbelievable.
I mean, he was playing great.
What did he shoot? He shot like 82 or something. How do you kill yourself when you're playing so well?
I know.
Did he leave a note?
Yeah.
He said, I can't take any more disappointment.
Holy shit. What
the hell's he talking about?
Holy shit. I can't take any more disappointment. That's what he used to say when we watched the Jets games together. I can't take any more disappointment. That's an exact quote.
Really?
Jeff,
I've seen that guy sob after losses. During games, I've seen him sob.
Who knew he was so tortured?
And they just kept
losing, and he kept eating at him and eating at him. And he couldn't take any more disappointment.
Oh, my God.
The Jets killed Carl. And a little bit of the Knicks.
That's nuts.
The Jets killed him.
Larry.
Oh. Good to see you.
Hey, Doc.
You hear about Carl?
That's terrible.
Why would somebody do something like that?
Well, it was the Jets.
My God.
He just couldn't take it. It ate him up inside.
What a catastrophe.
I know. Last year started with such promise. Then Donald gets mono. Season's over by game three.
I'm talking about his widow, Veronica, his family. That's a catastrophe.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Like you would really be talking about your friend's suicide and just immediately go, yeah, Donald's gone by game three and then the season's over. So ridiculous. So you think I need to start watching it again?
Sure you should.
Like,
yeah,
even like
not?
I saw that scene.
They're short. The episodes are short.
I thought that scene was pretty good right before when he's talking to J.B. Smoove. I thought that was...
I love their chemistry.
Really?
Yes.
See, to me it seems kind of forced. This scene that I watched seemed really forced.
Their chemistry and their friendship always seems unusual and forced to me. But it's funny. It's funny. J.B. Smoove is so funny and vulgar. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Get so vulgar together.
Yeah, I don't always do that real well either. And not to be a big prude, but yeah. That's what kind of turned me off about the scene leading up to that conversation
about
that
the
we
magic,
just heard.
The magic area?
Yeah.
That the wife had?
That Carl's widow has. And speaking of her...
What did they call it?
They called it by its anatomical name, yeah.
Okay. The V word?
Yeah.
Okay.
How?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they did. And by the way, speaking of Carl's widow, the Jets came up as Larry tried to console her.
Oh, the widow with the magic thing?
All right, roll tape.
Was there anything else on your mind?
Well, now that you mention it, one small thing.
A few days before Carl died, we played golf. And it was me and Jeff against Carl and Lewis. And I have found out subsequently that Lewis was using an illegal putter. So, you know, I feel like that $500 that I gave Carl was taken under false pretenses.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Why are you telling me this?
I just feel I'm owed that money.
The man is dead.
Yeah.
He can't pay you back.
Right, but...
Are you asking me to pay you $500?
No, the estate.
The estate is me, Larry.
Huh.
I don't know why you're asking this now.
You know, I just feel like I was cheated out of a win, like in 2017, when Austin Seferian Jenkins caught that ball, and then they said it wasn't a catch. So stupid, cost the Jets the win.
The Jets?
Yeah, they couldn't beat the Patriots.
The Jets, Larry? You come into this house and bring up the Jets? Do you know how much disappointment I have had to live with from the Jets?
You've lived with disappointment? Are you serious?
Yeah,
you know what
Larry?
This team has done to me? I haven't enjoyed a football season since 1969. Maybe 98 when Parcells was the coach for a year.
Get out of here.
That was good too. But that's it.
No, please, Larry, get out of here.
Oh, literally?
Get the f*** out, Larry.
Whoa.
Literally. Oh, by the way, Seferian Jenkins didn't survive the recovery, Larry.
Oh.
He didn't survive the ground.
Is that so?
On the recovery.
Is that so? You don't know what you're talking
about. Watch the playback,
okay?
Larry.
I've seen the playback 100 times.
I've seen it too.
That was a catch.
Oh,
a bullshit call.
It's the argument with the widow when he's going over to comfort her.
Talk to a friend. They've just lost. She just lost her husband. You just lost the friend, but you got to bring up an illegal putter and then get
illegal putter
balled down on the Jets and a play that happened.
So I feel like that's my $500. So
they kind of jumped the shark a few years ago, right? It's just like it used to be more natural and just okay. I could see that happening and escalating, and now they just go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds, where he's screaming at a widow after a minute and a half.
I think that they slow burned it a little bit there at the front.
Okay. All right, here is Larry David on with ESPN Radio in New York, and he got into a spirited sports discussion with the host.
You're someone that doesn't hate the Mets, right?
So not at all. Right. I like the Mets.
So
yeah.
Was there ever just...
I like the Mets and the Giants. I'm a Giants fan, too.
Oh, so what do you want to say? What do you want to say?
Well, you're Romalupica. I've called you a sports fraud before. You're cool with that, right?
Sports fraud?
Yeah, but you can't root for both teams.
No, you're crazy.
Wow, crazy?
No, you're crazy.
Well, you just get to pick which team is hot, and I'll just follow them?
No, if the Mets are doing well, only when they play each other do I root for the other.
You root for the Yankees when they play them?
When they play the Mets, I root for the Yankees. But I'll go to Met games. I'll root for the Mets. How dare you, Don?
I just think it's hard because it's territoriality, right? I mean, grow up with Yankee fans are arrogant to Met fans and vice versa. Fans are impossible to deal with in 86.
I rooted for the Mets in 86.
Do you know that
they played the Red Sox? Who do you want me to root for?
They just don't watch. You missed the first two periods of Game 6. You can miss a whole game.
Don, I was jumping in the air in that ninth inning.
Billy Crystal was sitting here, and Don took exception to the fact that Billy Crystal is a big Yankee fan and wore the Met hat in City Slickers. And he called him a fraud, and Billy Crystal did not like it.
I can live with that. What am I supposed to... what I do.
I get where you're coming from with the fraud stuff.
Right. That doesn't mean that I hate you.
Why would I make it up? I'm not going to make up that I like them. No, who am I supposed to... supposed to please by saying that?
Oh, I can't call fans a fraud, and then when Kevin James is here, not call him a fraud for rooting for the Islanders and Rangers. I'm just trying to be consistent, that's all.
The Islanders and Rangers,
that's tough to do.
That's the line.
That I don't get.
But
that's different. They're playing each other 20 times a year. That's a whole different thing.
That's pretty funny, and I get that, having lived in Chicago. I never really understood that. I was more of a White Sox fan than Cubs, but I rooted for the Cubs. When they did play each other, when interleague play started, I rooted for the White Sox, but I rooted for both. That is weird how it gets territorial within a city, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't understand how other people have the authority to tell you who you can and can't root for. You guys used to always be on about this, that...
Illegal rooting.
Yeah. I don't understand. What is illegal rooting?
If you're living in Dallas and you're a Vikings fan, that's weird. If you've lived in Dallas all your life and you're a Vikings fan?
Okay, but you've never lived in Alabama and you went crazy for Alabama for a while.
I don't call myself...
Or the Warriors.
Or the Warriors.
I don't call myself... I'm not a Warriors fan. I appreciated their greatness. That's what I did.
No, you were a fan. You were buying jerseys and all kinds of stuff.
I only bought an Alabama shirt.
Gosh.
You bought some Seth Curry's,
too,
that's
the greatest place I've ever been
so
in college
guilty
football.
Of exactly what you
but
complain
I,
of.
But along those rules, I never got up in anyone's face about, hey, Bama's going to kick your ass this Saturday. I never did that.
Not in front of us.
But I would watch Alabama because they were fun to watch, just like I watched the Warriors because they were entertaining to watch. And, yeah, if it got down to it, I would root for them over Cleveland or whoever. Yeah, and they won, but I like the way they played. I like the way they won. There's been other championship teams that I didn't get behind just because they didn't flip my switch.
So name another team that you jumped on board that wasn't very successful at anything. Seems like you only pick the ones that are
I've been
hot.
A lifelong, I mean, the Mavericks from the very start, they
you
were
live
terrible.
In Dallas. You already have a rooting interest there because of a geographical reason.
Top Cowboys for 26 years.
That's also geographical reason. Mm.
So you're saying I don't have another team. I wouldn't even count Alabama and Golden State. I'm not a bandwagoner.
Okay, when you started liking Alabama and Golden State, were they doing well at the time?
I liked Alabama before Nick Saban got there just because of what they were and their tradition. Even as a kid,
successful program.
They were successful, but they weren't like they have been the last 10 years. Then when Saban got there...
You were not a fan of them before they were... Like, you became a fan of them.
I was, too. I went there in 1995, and the people of Alabama were so nice to me. I thought, man, I'm rooting for them. And then they did win a national championship.
You dressed
a few years
yourself
later.
As man in your inner thoughts again.
That's my brilliance. And this is what's somewhat amazing about Larry David. I mean, you figured he was... Maybe up there past 60. I didn't realize he was 72.
Yeah.
That's
old.
Pretty impressive to keep that work schedule going in your 70s. And
yeah, when you're a billionaire like he is.
Oh, my gosh.
He's
got so much money.
Creating stuff, yeah.
And he really hasn't aged that much as far as just, I don't think, in appearance in 20 years. To me, he looks the same now that he did in 2000.
Because he looked like an old man when he was 40.
Yeah, maybe he was before his time and looking old. All right, maybe I'll revisit Curb, especially if they're bringing in some sports humor to it. All right, it's 8:31 on the ticket. Let's send the great Gordo out with the microphone.